Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
We are reading today from Luke 22, we're reading 31 to 34. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny three times that you know me.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you here. Hi, onliners. Love to see you in the chat saying g'day. As said, my name's Roxanne. I'm here on staff at GBC. Huge big hello and welcome and great to see you. One of the things that our preschoolers do up in the preschool room is they play a game sometimes called Mystery Box. They have a box, it's a mystery, and they put objects in the box, it's all dark, and the kids have to put their hand in and feel what's in the mystery box, right? Now, they're 3 and 4, so, you know, everything's a mystery, right? Everything's exciting in the preschool room. But they've got to feel it and try and figure out what it is. And at the end of the game, the leaders, you know, take the object out of the box and it's revealed, you know, it's a pine cone, it's a garlic press, who knew, right? Exciting stuff. And the idea being that what was hidden all of a sudden is revealed and understood in a whole new way. This passage that Susan read for us kind of reminds me a bit of that mystery box game, because here we have Jesus speaking to Simon the disciple, Simon Peter the disciple, and all of a sudden he's revealed something to Simon and to us that was kind of hidden before. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Excuse me, who, what, where, whom, what? All of a sudden, the curtain is drawn back, the veil is lifted, and we get a picture of what was hidden to us. We get to see what's happening in the spiritual realm. We get to see what's happening in the heavenly places, and it's a surprise in some respects. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the beginning of Job, the book of Job in the Old Testament, where Satan comes to God and says, have you considered my servant Job? That's a little bit of that picture that we get about what's happening in heaven. Now, Satan here is, in the Hebrew, Hasatan, which means the accuser. The accuser of the brethren is called, although the people of God in the Bible. So Satan in this is in the heavenly courts asking to sift Simon as wheat. Now, I can like making a cake like the rest of you, okay? And I've sifted flour before, but that's not this, okay? Sifting wheat is very different to sifting flour. Sifting wheat was a production that they did in the first century. They would take wheat, they would thresh it, which was bash it. They would winnow it, which was flip it up into the air with giant forks. The wheat would fall and the chaff would blow away with the wind. And then finally, they would sift it with like a sieve kind of thing. Think about giant gold panning type, you know, mechanisms. And they would sift wheat, and they would separate out like bits of stone and dust and bird droppings and all that horrible stuff that you don't want to put in the bread, right? I mean, sifting's a good thing, okay? It's to separate the not just the wheat from the chaff, but the rocks and the stones as well. And so here we have this picture of Satan coming and saying, Simon, Simon, Jesus saying, Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you violently, to shake you up, to separate the good from the bad and figure out what's going on here as wheat. So this is kind of where we start. Now, where I want to just draw our attention to is where this is happening in Luke's gospel. Here we have, this is towards the end of Luke's gospel, it's chapter 22, and Jesus has had the Lord's Supper. So they've been in the upper room, they've had the Lord's Supper, they've gathered together, that Jesus has not yet been arrested, and there's this interaction with the disciples and this moment with Simon the disciple. So here we have all of God's plans and purposes and the promises of God and the promise to send a saviour and that God's going to renew and restore and Jesus is going to make all things right. It's all kind of coming to a point. This is mission critical. This is the moment before the cross. So it's crucial, this moment. And this is the context into which this conversation, this terrifying conversation happens. And so Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you, all of the disciples, as wheat." And then he says, the greatest words ever. He says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. I've prayed for you. And in this moment now, after this conversation, what happens is Jesus and the disciples, they go out to the Mount of Olives and just before the arrest, and he goes out with them and he says to the disciples, he says, pray, like I've just prayed, pray that you won't fall into temptation. And Jesus goes and has an interaction and he spends more time with prayer, in prayer with the Father. And then he comes back and he finds the disciples sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. And he says, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation." Prayer is really important to Jesus, and temptation is really important for Jesus. Praying that we won't fall into temptation is crucial for Jesus here. And Jesus knows what he's talking about, because he has experienced temptation. He has experienced what it is to be sifted and shaken and tested and trialed and tempted to do the things that God doesn't want him to do. He's experienced that, and Luke tells us that in Luke chapter 4. At the very beginning, before Jesus starts his public ministry, the Holy Spirit fills Jesus, and Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days and he fasts for 40 days, and he's not exhausted from sorrow, he's just exhausted from lack of food. And there's a tempting and a testing that happens with Satan, the devil, in the wilderness, constantly tempting Jesus, constantly testing Jesus. "Get your sustenance this way." And Jesus says, "No, my sustenance is the word of God." Satan tests and tempts and says, "Throw yourself off this hill." And Jesus says, "No, my safety is not in this. In fact, I'm not going to put the Lord, my God, to the test." And Jesus tempts him with power his way. And God says, "No, only power comes God's way. I'm going to worship God and put God in his rightful space." Jesus comes through this wilderness experience and he overcomes temptation. He stands up under it. He is sifted and tested and is found to be true, the true man of God. So Jesus knows what it is to be tempted and what it is to be tested and have your faith sifted. And so in this moment in the garden, that's in the back of my mind, that this is the start of Jesus' public ministry, and here it is in the garden. This is the start of the new thing. This is the start of Holy Week. This is where God is going to go moving forward. And he says at this point, let's stand up under temptation. And the way we do that is we're going to be praying. We're going to pray that we don't fail, that we don't fall into temptation. Faith is crucially important to Jesus. And it's crucially important all the way through this Gospel of Luke that we've been looking at over this series. Every interaction that Jesus has had with a person where there's a healing or something miraculous has happened or a conversation, the thing that gets remarked on all throughout Luke's Gospel is faith. The thing that Jesus commends people for is their faith. Over and over and over and over again, Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. I've never seen such faith." Faith is incredibly important to Jesus. And here he prays for Simon, "I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." And why is faith so important in the midst of temptation, in the midst of the shaking? Well, Jesus knows that faith is the umbilical cord that connects us to God. Faith is the thing that keeps us going. Jesus says he is the vine and we are the branches. And we know that the branches get their life from the vine. And he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Stay connected to me. And we know that if a branch is removed from the vine, it withers and dies. Faith keeps us connected to the vine, keeps us connected to God. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our faith is the thing that connects us. And we recognize that if we don't have that faith, if we're not walking in those ways, we're ineffective and we can do nothing. Jesus says, abide or remain or stay in me. And if you do that, you're going to bear much fruit. And faith is the thing that helps us to abide, remain, to stay. That fruit might be bare. Spiritual fruit might be born out in us. Faith is the thing. And Jesus also says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for me. And faith is the thing that helps keep us on the way and walking in the way of Jesus. Faith is the thing that helps keep our minds fixed on the truth of who he is. And faith is the thing that helps us to be living the life that Jesus gives. And without faith, we're not in the way, we're lost. Without faith, we're not living in the truth, we're being deceived. And without faith, we're not living life, we're living death. So faith is incredibly important to Jesus at this pivotal moment just before the cross. And he says, pray that your faith, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail, and pray that you're not going to fall into temptation, that your faith may be the faith that endures, that lasts, that continues through the midst of that violent shaking and sifting and separating out that Satan wants to do. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Now, in this, it's not just that Jesus is actually saying to Simon, hey, you know what, Simon, this is all about you, okay? Nothing else matters, just you, Simon. I'm just going to pray that it's just about you. Because there's a bigger picture that Simon is invited into at this point. Just prior to this, Jesus in verse 28, if you've got your Bibles there, he says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom. I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus is praying for Simon, not that just Simon would have this great faith and be victorious and awesome, although that's great, but Simon represents something. Simon's part of a bigger picture. Simon isn't just Simon the fisherman who goes out and catches fish. Simon has been made a fisher of men. Simon's a disciple. And Simon has been named Peter, upon whose confession of faith as Jesus is Lord, the church is going to be built. Simon is part of the people of God who are going to move forward after Jesus' work, and they're going to bring the gospel to the world. They're going to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. They're going to be part of the renewal and restoration of all things. And they're going to be the hands and feet and the body of Christ here on earth. And Jesus is saying to Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fall. This isn't just about you. This is kingdom purposes. God has been planning this from the beginning of time. This is a promise from Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, and here it's about to come into fruition. Hold on, Simon Peter. Hold on to your faith. Hold on. Do not fail in this. Stay strong. Stay connected. Stay in the vine. Stay in the way. Stay in the truth. Stay in the life, because oh, the kingdom of God is coming and you're going to pay a part. You're not just a fisherman, my friend. You've got a kingdom role. Man, Jesus says, I have prayed for you. Incredible. And then he goes on to say, that your faith may not fall. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Simon, bless him. Don't you love Simon Peter? All the confidence, all the gear, no idea. Lord, I'm ready to go to prison and even death with you. Oh, I tell you, Peter, before that rooster crows today, you're going to deny three times that you know me. But Jesus in that says, when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Even in that moment, even in that moment where Jesus is praying for Simon and praying for the disciples and praying for us, he knows that Simon's going to deny him, that that's going to happen. And he's willing and able and open to Simon Peter coming back into fellowship and being restored and then doing the work of strengthening the church and being a part of the kingdom purposes. God is so gracious and so kind and so faithful. Jesus has prayed for Simon and he prays for us. Incredible. And I wonder if we can grasp how incredible that is, that Jesus not only prays for Simon, but that he prays for us. In Hebrews, which is a great book of the Bible, if you want to have a read of something about how amazing Jesus is better, could be the subtitle of that book, talks about Jesus being this high priest who intercedes for us. And it says, therefore, Jesus is a permanent high priest. Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for us. Jesus always lives to intercede for you. Jesus prays for you. And I don't know about you, but I think I need to see into that mystery box, right? Because I get an idea of kind of what that's like, but I kind of need that revealed to me because that's mind-blowing to me that Jesus prays for me, that he is alive to intercede in the spiritual places for me. You know, there's this story that is told from Compassion International, the charity. I don't know if maybe you've got a Compassion Child or a World Vision Child. It's the sponsorship organisation. And there was a kid in the Philippines who, his name was Timothy, and living in the slums, and he got swept into this Compassion program and partnered with a child sponsor in the US, in the USA. And Timothy was partnered with a guy by the name of George Walker. And George and Timothy wrote to one another for years and years. And so George Walker would be writing to Timothy and he would say fun things like, you know what, my dog is pretty well known. I've got a really well-known dog. How are you going? You know. And then he would say things like, you know what, sometimes I get to meet famous people. Wow, you know, how you doing? And then he would say things like, I'm going to go see my son for Christmas. It's going to be great. You know, he lives in this big white house. It's going to be so good to go to this big white house with my son. Super keen, super excited. How you doing? And they would have this great relationship of George Walker just blessing and providing for Timothy. Eventually, Timothy became of age, turned 18 and graduated out of the Compassion sponsorship program. And the Compassion people came to Timothy and they said, you need to know who's been in your corner all these years because it's not George Walker. That was an alias. The guy who sponsored you was the name of George H. Bush Sr., the first Bush US president. and you've literally had George Bush, the president, in your corner this whole time. Like, he has been advocating for you this whole time. He has been providing for you. He has been interceding for you this whole time. He has done what you couldn't do on your own. He has done for you. And that thing about going to Christmas to the son's White House, yeah, that was the whole thing, right? That was the White House. And just incredible. And I wonder if we grasp who is in our corner? Who is advocating for us? Who is praying for us? Who is interceding for us? Who it is that cares for us and says, I have prayed for you. Margaret, Margaret, I've prayed for you. Steve, Steve, I've prayed for you. Sarah, Sarah, I've prayed for you. Do we realize how incredible it is that Jesus prays for us? Oh, just phenomenal. That Jesus loves and cares for us this much. Amazing. You know, as disciples of Jesus, those who Jesus prays and those who he commends our faith and those who have a role and a task, and we're not just Roxanne the random, I actually am Roxanne the kingdom person who has a kingdom purpose and God has destiny and plan and purpose for me. As people who are prayed for, I too pray for others. And as disciples of Jesus, we are apprenticed to Jesus and we do the things that Jesus does. We do that for ourselves and we do that for one another. There's a great quote by a guy who's a Christian writer, an old Christian writer. His name's Oswald Chambers, if you've heard of him. And he says this about Jesus' intercession. He says, Jesus Christ carries on intercession for us in heaven, and the Holy Spirit carries on intercession in us on earth, and we, the saints, have to carry on intercession for all men here on earth, all mankind here on earth. And just as Jesus prays, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail, we're invited to pray that too. We are invited to pray for others that their faith may not fail as we pray. Now, we can pray and intercede and do for others what they cannot do for themselves in a variety of ways. Of course we can. We're encouraged to bring all things to God, every aspect of our life. This is the God who knows the number of hairs on our heads. He clothes the field with flowers. He's the one who feeds the sparrows. There is nothing outside of God's understanding, his eye. He sees it all. And we want to bring all of our lives to God. But in this scripture, the thing that Jesus prays for in the moment is that faith will endure, that faith will not fail, that faith will last. And as we learn to pray like Jesus, that's a challenge for us. To bring as well all the things that we bring, all of our needs, the people in our lives, the pain that they're going through, the difficulties, the sifting, the shaking. But to add to that, the prayer that in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the struggle, in the violence of that, in the horror of that, in the difficulty of that, that our faith will not fail, that it will endure, that it will last, that we will be remaining in the vine, that we will be abiding in Christ, that we will be in the way, the truth, and the life. And as we pray that for one another. Rosalind said before that the scripture that says a prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I want to challenge us this week that as we pray, as we bring our needs, our lives, our family, our friends to God, that we wouldn't just bring the things that are on our minds, but we would pray like Jesus, that we would pray that their faith would endure, that we would pray for our brothers and sisters who don't know Jesus, who aren't in the way, the truth, and the life, those who are lost and deceived, those who are spiritually dead, that we would pray for them, that we would pray that they would have faith, that would find faith in Christ, and it would be faith that lasts. For those of us who've got children, as you go in at night and they're sleeping on the bed, I wonder if you could put your hand on them and pray that their faith would grow and develop all the days of their life, that they would walk with Jesus all the days of their life. For those of you who are walking with someone who's struggling, and we do that, don't we? We walk beside people who are struggling and we pray for them. Let's pray that their faith is strengthened and endures and continues, because we know if they have that faith, then they can go through the shaking and we can walk alongside and go through the shaking together with Christ by our side. So as we pray, as you pray this week, let me encourage you right now in this moment just to consider who it is that the Lord is placing on your heart to pray for, to pray that their faith may endure, that their faith will not fail. Might be a family member, might be a neighbor, might be someone at work, might be someone in your life group, someone in your ministry. Who is it that the Lord is placing on your heart to pray as Jesus prayed for their faith? It could even be someone that you're struggling with. Jesus says we're to pray for those who persecute us, yeah? And pray for love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. So who is it that Jesus is inviting you to pray for this week? And let's pray like Christ prays. Because we don't just pray for ourselves and we don't just pray for our friends and our family and even our enemies and those who persecute us. We pray because there is so much at stake. That faith that endures is not just for us. It's not a dead end. It's a river. And we are called to be part of the kingdom of God moving forward in the renewal and restoration of all things, partnering with God as he does his work in this world. There's so much at stake. So let's pray like Jesus prayed. Let's have faith like Jesus had faith. Amen. I'm going to invite the band up and they're going to lead us in some songs of worship, or another song of worship. And as they come up, I want to pray, obviously, for us. And I want to invite you, if there's somebody that you need to be praying for or someone that God's placed on your heart or you've got a particular prayer need, some members of our prayer team, as per usual, will be down the front and they would love to pray with you and for you. If faith is something you're struggling with at the moment and you can't, it's a bit dry, you're a bit weak, you're a bit, just a bit wobbly, come and get some prayer. I'd love to pray with you and for you because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective and God listens to our prayers. So why don't you remain seated? I'm just going to be praying for us right now and then we're going to respond in worship. Let's do that. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that through your word, we see what was hidden to us and we see what's at stake. We see not just the things that are happening here on earth, but we see the things that we get a glimpse of what's happening in heaven. And Lord God, we just thank you that when there is shaking and when there is difficulty and when there is tempting and there is testing, that Jesus, you stand before the Father and you intercede for us. And you have said, I have prayed for you. Oh Lord, give us that confidence to know that. That our faith might increase, that it might be faith we can put our weight on, that our trust will increase. And God, I pray for each of us, that as our faith increases, as we know that you intercede for us, help us, Lord God, to be generous and big-hearted and to pray for others, particularly for those who are lost and do not know you. But pray for those around us, who surround us, that their faith might increase, that their faith will not fail. For we know, Jesus, that we need to be remaining connected to you, the vine, the life, the truth. And faith is the thing that's going to keep us tight with you. And we pray this not just for ourselves or our own family, our own circle, but we pray it for your kingdom. Because, Lord God, you have a plan to renew and restore all things. And it's your desire that all people come to a saving faith and love for you. So, Lord God, increase our faith. Make it strong. Help us to be people who love others, who pray for each other's faith, that we might be a little taste of heaven right here on earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus for your kingdom and your power and your glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.